Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Paradeep Phosphates Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Neerav. Hello everyone. I'm pleased to host today's earnings call of Paradeep Phosphates. We have a leadership team represented by Mr. Rajeev Nambiar, Joint MD and COO, Mr. Harshdeep Singh, President and Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Bijoy Biswal, CFO, and Mr. Alok Saxena, Head Corporate Finance and IR on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Nambiar for opening comments, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Rajeev, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Manish. Am I audible properly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Paradeep Phosphates Limited's earnings call for the quarter ended March and the financial year 2026. I appreciate your time and interest in our company. I trust you have seen our earnings and presentations and press release, which have been circulated and are available on our website and stock exchange. Let me give you an overview of our business. I'm happy to report that PPL has once again delivered a robust financial and operational performance and best-in-class EBITDA per ton. Many congratulations to all of you. In the financial year 2026, revenue from operations increased by 29% YoY to 21,826 crores. EBITDA rose up by 36% to 2,259 crores. Profit before tax increased by 46% year-over-year to 1,328, and the profit after tax stood at 1,000 crores, up by 52%. For the quarter ended March, the company reported total revenue of 4,702 crores, with an EBITDA of 484 crores, with a PBT stood at 202 crores and a profit after tax at 161 crores. Production volumes grew by 8% year-over-year, and it stood at 36.66 lakh metric tons, achieving almost 100% capacity utilization of our existing capacities, reflecting our continued endeavor for manufacturing excellence. Sales volume rose up to 42.1 lakh metric tons, with a 10% YoY. Growth was led by strong performance in value-added NPK grades. NPK as a category, including TSP, grew by 22% to 24.64 lakh tons. Despite global uncertainty and volatility in key raw material availability and as well as pricing, along with the INR depreciation, PPL has been able to deliver a consistent, robust performance through high operational agility, integrated operation, and supply chain sourcing efficiencies. Let me also give you an overview related to the key projects we have completed in the financial year 2026. During the year, we commissioned our sulfuric acid plant at Paradeep, 500,000-ton capacity, and at Mangalore, 0.1-million-ton capacity, thereby increasing our sulfuric acid capacity at company level by 0.6 million tons annually, an increase of 45% of the total capacity. The benefit of incremental sulfuric acid capacity commissioned this year will be available to us in financial year 2027 and will aid in improving our quality of earnings further. One more important project at Goa, we have completed our energy efficiency project, and the improved energy benefits have started coming as we speak now. Our plan to double the phosphate capacity from 0.5 million tons to 1 million tons is on track, and directionally, we endeavor to make all our sites 100% backward integrated in phosphoric acid. The phase one of this expansion, that is from 0.5 million to 0.7, of Paradeep is underway and is expected to be commissioned by financial year 2027. Sustainability remains core to our operations, and during the year, we achieved S&P Global ESG score of 76 and ranked top 2% in the global chemical sector. Through our expanded distribution and digital outreach, we are now engaging with over 15 million farmers across 18 states, supported by more than 1 lakh retailers and 6,800 dealers, and a strong on-the-ground advisory network. In summary, PPL remains committed for strategic growth and expansion, build economies of scale, and deepen our market presence. Let me also give you an outlook for the future. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the fertilizer demand, continued government thrust on soil health, and rising shift towards balanced and specialized nutrient applications. However, we remain in the challenging time amidst the Middle East situation, and we have seen spurt in key raw materials, particularly ammonia and sulfur. As you are aware, Middle East contributes significantly to raw materials, particularly ammonia and sulfur, which is almost like 70-75%, and most of the shipments across the Strait of Hormuz. While industry stock remains balanced at this point, industry is making concerted efforts, and empowered committee comprising of government and industry officials have been working in close coordination to ensure fertilizer production and raw material sourcing planning. Thanking all of you once again, and I now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Deep Sanghvi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for. Am I audible, first of all?
Yeah. Can you be a little louder?
Yeah. So, yeah, first of all, thank you so much for taking the question. So my first question is regarding the operating cash flow, which was, of course, which is negative this year, around -1,000 crores. So that was largely driven by the increase in the inventories and receivables, right? So could you help me understand the key reasons behind this and whether this should normalize, you know, going forward?
Yeah, you take it.
Yeah, hi. So thanks for the question. No, this is, yes, you know, we are quite mindful of that. We have a negative, you know, operating cash flow. But this is mainly on account of the increase in the inventory and, you know, increase in the trade receivables and, you know, subsidy. This, you know, increase in inventory is mainly to accommodate this increase of raw material prices, which is going to unfold in this Q1 of 26-27. So you know, what is a strategic call that, you know, we should, you know, we hold this additional inventory of around 30 odd days. And this subsidy receivable is mainly on account of the increase of the DAP prices, DAP subsidy, and other things which came toward the end of the period. And all these things, whatever is there, that will get unwinded in this Q1, and, you know, we'll definitely reap the benefit of this, you know, stock holding and this subsidy receivable in Q1.
Right. Okay, sir. And my other question is regarding the sulfur prices, which are still higher. So what could you give a guidance about that for the future? And I think last phone call you also said that you are sourcing domestically from the IOC and MRPL, which is in Mangalore. So can you also give something about, tell something about that, please?
Yeah. Sulfur prices remain under stress actually for last few months, and we expect that actually under the Hormuz situation de-escalates, there won't be a major impact which is coming and supporting us. But as you said, actually we are taking out 100% of this sulfur requirement from MRPL for Mangalore, even with the increased capacity. The recent 300 tons plant we have commissioned is currently running at almost 400 tons. And the Paradeep, almost 20-30% of the sulfur requirement comes from the IOC Paradeep. So put together, domestically, we are poised towards a comfort version. But yes, internationally, we remain under stress conditions.
Right. And my last question is regarding the future guidance, if you can give. So the company is, I think, you are looking for, you're increasing the share in getting higher margin NPK fertilizers, right? And of course, the backward integration as well. So, in the medium term trajectory, so what would be the EBITDA per ton for this FY26? FY26 it was around 5,100 per ton, right? So what could be the
So currently if the spread was 5,300, I think. And as we deepen the backward integration across phosphoric and sulfuric acid, the spread is going to increase, but we also have to take care of the global situation that is in place.
Correct.
So it will be hard for us to give you a specific number for FY27, but given the supply chain linkages and the backward integration that we have, the backward integration benefit should flow in FY27.
Got it. Okay. That's all.
Thank you. A request for all the participants, kindly limit yourself to two per participant. Next question is from the line of Prashant Biani. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how are you placed with regard to raw material availability for Q1? How much of your requirement you have already bought pre-war, and how much are you having to buy at higher prices which are prevailing right now?
Prashant, we remain optimistic for the Q1 because we have covered most of the Q1. And Q2, the situation is unfolding. It will be a little difficult for us to give a direct answer for the rest of beyond Q1, I think.
And Prashant, I think industry is actively engaging with government on this aspect, particularly for Q2. And almost in a daily discussion being discussed with Secretary of Fertilizers and MDs of the major companies. So I think all the stakeholders are involved, and we should get some clarity very soon. But as far as Mr. Nambiar said, Q1 is adequately covered. For Q2, the company as well as the industry is working with the government to have more visibility.
Sure. Mr. Nambiar, can you share some update on our CAPEX, which is underway across granulation, phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid?
Sulfuric acid, if you look at it, actually two projects were completed last year, that 0.5 and 0.16 altogether. The next sulfuric acid project is actually, we are in the stage where the commercial offers are coming now. We should be able to take a call in terms of our proposed 3,000 tons per day sulfuric acid by within this quarter actually. And phosphoric acid also, it will be coupled with both together. So our, in spite of all these challenges coming on the global scenario, our commitment for our CAPEX remains same.
Currently, it would be in design stage, or we have finalized vendors for construction?
We are in the finalizing stage for the vendors. We have almost received the quotes, and there is a separate team working on it.
And how much would be the CAPEX for FY27 that we are planning?
So FY normal CAPEX will be around, 600 crore, which is completely, we have, the financial closure has been done. So this is normal CAPEX, and something of this major projects or some outflow will be included there.
Yes. And Krishna, just for FY27, the major projects that we expect to close this year will be expansion of phosphoric acid from 500,000 tons to 0.7. So there's an incremental 200,000 tons of phosphoric acid that is expected in FY27, and the key other project is some debottlenecking at Paradeep unit. So these are the incremental, I would say, the cash flows that we expected to receive from the project that is getting completed. And all other major capexes, as we have said earlier, is likely to be done by FY28 and FY29.
Sure, I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Riju from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Few questions. First one is regarding the Goa plant energy efficiency. So the Goa plant energy efficiency project that we have completed in Q4 or in the Q3?
So can you repeat the question?
Yeah, so the Goa plant energy efficiency project, so that we have completed in Q4 or earlier Q4?
No, this Q4.
We have taken the shutdown actually from the month of February and completed in the last week of April.
Okay, understood. So, sir, I think as per your earlier guidance, I think 6.4 to 6.1 GCal kind of energy efficiency that we'll be in Goa plant. So with that, how much EBITDA per ton improvement that we can expect from going forward?
So look, the guidance what we have given that, from 6.4 to 6.1, that energy efficiency will accrue to us. So in current gas price scenario, it will be around 1,000 to 1,200 rupees per ton of urea at EBITDA level.
Understood. And sir, in terms of the NCFL urea plant, I think there were some issues, there were some policy issues due to which we were expecting that EBITDA per ton to be lower. So if you could indicate the EBITDA per ton for the NCFL plant as of now, maybe in the H2 of 26.
No, look, earlier to this policies, changed, there is a reduction in this norm, benchmark, energy norm from 7.3 to 6.5. So that impacted the EBITDA by around 3,000 rupees per ton. And current level, it will be around 6,000 rupees, 6 to 6,500 rupees. And this is the scenario as of now.
And just to add, there was no policy change. That was an incentive given because we switched over from naphtha to gas, and that has expired. So there is no, as far as policy change, it was an investment benefit that was accrued to us for a period of a year, which has done. So there is no major policy shift as far as that is concerned.
Okay. So the margin that we used to, get roughly 6,000 rupees a ton for the MCFL urea, so that we are getting till now, right?
Yes. And it is also a function of the global gas prices. The margins in urea is a function of the global gas prices.
Yeah. And also, sir, we have expanded sulfuric acid capacity at the MCFL plant. I think that might help in terms of getting the higher margins for the urea plant because of the power generation from the sulfuric acid plant. So how we can look at that scenario in 27?
We are expected, actually, we have been using the steam from the sulfuric acid plant to the other one. So at least almost 1,000 rupees per ton could be the impact, which is on a favorable side.
Understood. And sir, one last question in terms of the overall capacity utilization for the Goa plant for this year and for the MCFL plant for this year, for the NPK and for the urea and the non-urea, both, if you could bifurcate those two numbers for the FY26.
No, we have produced around 4 lakh ton of urea at Goa and around 7 lakh ton of NPK. And in Mangalore, same similar, 4 lakh ton of urea and 3.5 lakh ton of NPK.
Both the plants have actually completed the RAC quantity, and afterwards only we went for the Goa energy saving project. And in terms of NPK, actually Goa is almost 0.7 to 0.8 in between, and Mangalore is almost a full capacity of 1.4. So put together, both the plants are run wonderfully well in terms of capacity utilization.
Understood, sir. And sir, one last thing. I think earlier we have mentioned the debottlenecking of granulation capacity at the Odisha plant, roughly around 2 lakh ton. So that is that might come in FY27. Is that correct understanding?
It will be in 2027. This current year it will come.
Okay. So the incremental volume that can we expect from this year or maybe from the next year?
So you should expect this in second half, the incremental volumes coming into the company.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying all this. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. I request all the participants, kindly limit yourself to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. First is, if I look at Q4 and for the year gone by, what will be the EBITDA per ton on the manufactured volumes, DAP and PK?
Yeah, we give as a product, blended margin, EBITDA margin, that is around 5,700,
For the Q4 it is 5,700. In the whole year, it is a 5,300.
Yeah, but for the manufacturing business, any indication you can give, how much would that be?
Yeah, we give it at a blended company level, and obviously traded products will be at a lower number.
Okay, but this will be purely the DAP and NPK business, right? Not in the urea piece.
So this is at a company level, so it includes everything.
All put together.
Okay. Second question is, now what is the current level of backward integration post the sulfuric acid and, you know, the phosphoric acid we have, and once the expansion of phosphoric acid and, you know, other initiatives, what will be the backward integration, you know, a year or two down the line?
Paradeep,
it is
around 80-90%.
Paradeep is almost like fully integrated actually. So Paradeep expansion, which is coming from 0.5 to 0.7, should cover most of the other two units requirement of phosphoric also.
And for sulfuric acid, sir, are we?
No, sulfuric acid, for phosphoric acid is 100% backward integrated. If you take up, you know, N20 product, then there will be some, you know, requirement. You know, you have to import around 10%. But in Mangalore, it is 100% backward integrated, sulfuric acid.
Okay. Just one last question. I mean, now the subsidy rates are out by the government. With the way the key raw material prices are behaving right now, how should one understand spreads for us in the first half? I mean, do you think there is more flexibility in terms of adjusting the market prices to cover for the raw material under recovery, or, you know, where does the larger focus lie? Any color you can give?
Just to share with you, we retain our price leadership as far as market is concerned. So we have taken a price increase in NPK. However, we are also working very closely with the government, because the entire price increase cannot be passed on to the customers also, because the sulfur and ammonia prices are extremely high in the current situation. And we expect the government also to be equally supportive on that. And at the same time, we are also having a strategy where there is clarity in margin, like focusing on products like DAP, so which also ensures that we maintain our overall profitability. So that's how we're doing it. But in terms of NPKs, we are a leader in the market in terms of our market realization also.
Okay, understood. But generally, there's no issue in the availability of raw material. It's just the prices are at abnormal levels. So in terms of kharif, we are well covered in the supplies?
Yeah, kharif, I think we are confident and optimistic about it. But we are making our endeavor to see actually for future tie-ups are done faster.
That's good. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Kiran Naik from Modi Fincap. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity, sir. Sir, if I am correct, as per the presentation shown on the BSE India on the website. Hello, can you hear, sir?
Yeah.
So the EBITDA margin for the full year was 8.4. Am I right?
8.4 what?
Percentage EBITDA margin shown for the 26 financial year. Or was it 10.03?
EBITDA margin is 11% for the year.
11% for the year. So can we expect, sir, because the conditions are not good geopolitically, so can we expect for 27 EBITDA margin 10%?
See, I think the percentage is not the right metric for us as an industry. We evaluate the industry as EBITDA per ton. So I think the right metrics for us is to look at is EBITDA per ton. Given the situation we are in today of the Middle East, we will not be able to give you a right EBITDA per ton at this moment of time. But I think with the kind of supply side linkages that we have and the marketplace penetration we have, we should be able to give to end the year with a good margins.
Revenue expectation for 27?
What is it?
Revenue expectation for 20.
We will still hold ourselves because let things settle and we will come back actually. That'll be enough.
Okay.
Situation is quite volatile and, you know, see, our endeavor is to get the raw material to produce. So
So if we are able to do that, then definitely we'll see a growth.
See, just to kind of give you a perspective from the market side, see, we had opening stock, we have had a good visibility on Kharif, so we will continue to maintain our leadership. And hopefully by another 2 to 3 months, we should get a clarity on the Rabi supply chain. But we are very confident as far as market leadership is concerned. So don't see any concern, except for very unexceptional situations where the value chain is impacted.
Thank you. Kiran, may I request you to come back for a follow-up question, please?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, my first question is, like, what was the N20 volume in the total NPK mix for Q4 and FY26?
Yeah, good morning. So N20 volume, which we did, was 14.5 lakh metric ton, okay? And we grew almost 9% over last year. And we are among the top two, three companies today in the NPK volumes.
Sir, for N20, this is for N20, sir?
This is for N20, what I'm talking of, 14.5 lakh metric ton.
Okay, sir. And for traded products, what were the volumes for TSP, DAP, and MOP, sir?
TSP was around 2.8 lakh metric ton, and DAP was around another 2.2 lakh metric ton. Overall, import portfolio was around 0.6 million tons.
0.6 million tons. Okay, sir. And what was the gas cost, sir, for the quarter?
What is it?
Gas cost.
Around $14, $14 for MMBTU.
And what is the current gas cost, sir?
It has slightly moved up. You know, it is now around $18-$19 because of this disturbance in the supply. But, you know, I can tell you that this entire urea energy cost is a pass-through. So whatever the increase, you know, increase in the raw gas cost, you know, that will be passed through. That will not impact the this, you know, bottom line of the urea.
Absolutely.
In fact, it is helpful because what urea plays is the energy efficiency.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And out of the new project cost, sir, that 3,600 crore rupees, so what was your spend in FY26, and what is your planning for FY27 spend?
FY26, actually, most of things were in the engineering stages. The actual cash flow will start happening 27, and we expect, like, 600 crore will be spent in 27.
Thank you. Sandeep, may I request to come back for a follow-up question, please?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to two questions per participant. Next question is from line of Ahmed from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. You made few remarks around government support and your communication with government. Can you elaborate a bit? I mean, what sort of measures you are expecting? Is it certain kind of an ad hoc subsidy increases or support in some other form? If you can just expand on it, how you are looking at things as of today. I'm asking this question considering the subsidy hike for the season has been just 10%, while the raw material prices are up significantly. Yeah.
Yeah, good morning to you. See, just to kind of give you an overview, government's policy as far as DAP and TSP is concerned, government has a clear advantage, disadvantage as a policy, which factors in the increase in the import prices and the price of the product. So to that extent, DAP gets adjusted and your bottom line gets kind of adjusted positively with any price change. And we are also working closely with the government as far as the sulfur and ammonia raw material prices are concerned. So that's how we look at it.
Okay. But in terms of availability, you don't see any challenge even if you have to buy at current prices for quarter two?
So the way we are looking at it is, see, it's not that there is no challenge. We have ensured that more or less we covered our Q1, and we're securing our Q2. But you understand there is a lot of sulfur which flows through the Gulf of Hormuz. Okay. So while we are equally balanced because a lot of our sulfur is sourced from the refineries within India, so there's a good balance. And hopefully, if the situation resolves within next few weeks, then I think the value chain should be streamlined. That's how we look at it.
And to add on to that, you know, we are now focusing on low sulfur grade products.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, increasing DAP and other things, where there is a clarity of that, you know, policy and, you know. So we are trying to minimize our sulfur requirement, you know.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Aman Kothari from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Firstly, congratulations, sir, on a wonderful set of results. Sir, I think you covered the point on the inventory increase that we have done that deliberately for, let's say, meeting Q1. Can you tell me how much inventory additional we are keeping a stock of as against to what we would do on a normal year?
No, this stock increase in the raw material stage, you know, around another 30 days it is there, you know. So to take care of this production for the Q1, and in fact, that will benefit us, you know, looking at this, you know.
Yeah.
Northward movement of the raw material prices.
Got it. Okay. And on the balance sheet side too, also, I think for us, the total gross debt has increased to 6,800, and as you mentioned, a large part of this is again subsidy receivable that has to happen. So do you think that, let's say, barring Q1, we could have a problem in the timing of the subsidy, and that could lead us to, you know, raising a possibility of short-term working capital? Because the government is already shifting.
Actually, in our working capital limit, you know, we have adequate limit, you know, which we have got it. Only thing is that the money what is stuck in this subsidy and inventory, that will wind up in this quarter. So I don't see that there is a, you know, this level goes up beyond from here. In all probability, it should come down. So once this pause sale happen, the subsidy start flowing and this inventory goes out, the main consumption happens in June and July. So all this will definitely reduce, you know, this borrowing level, you know, what are the working capital level, borrowing level, that will reduce.
Got it. And in terms of the NPK leadership that we have established, sir, we are almost growing on a company level almost as 22% among the top companies. So do you think that, I think in the last call also you had mentioned that maybe 50% of the market is still NPK, but that we but as Ali is 45%. So do you see that push by the government also happening, and you also seeing an increase in farming adopting to nitrogen NPK products?
Good morning. There are two dimensions. So first is on the leadership. So just to give you a perspective, let's say the industry growth of NPK standalone this year.
Yeah.
Was -1%, and your company grew by 10%. So in a situation where there was degrowth, we grew. And if you include the TSP plus NPK, the industry growth was around 1.6%. We grew by 15%. So that's the direction that we've consciously taken to provide balanced nutrition. So that's a long-term strategy we continue to build up. However, in the current year, you could have a mixed this thing because of constraints of sulfur and other products. So the strategy might be more tilted to ensure that the phosphate and nitrogen also is secured, so that the food security is maintained. So you will see a government putting a lot of emphasis on urea and DAP, and of course, complexes, it continues, but be conscious of the fact that the complexes for the farmer today are priced quite higher compared to the DAP and TSP.
So if the prices are higher in this current phase, do you think farmers would want to switch to a NPK kind of product? I mean, I can understand the nutrient balance that they would want to have, but.
No, so it's a natural preference. The first preference for a farmer would be to typically go for products like urea and DAP. Okay? So that's what would happen. But like I was sharing with you with the last year also, with the industry where in NPK, the industry didn't grow, but we grew by more than 10%. So from that perspective, once you convey the benefits of the balanced nutrition to the farmer, you will see an uptake happening. But in the current situation where with too much of variance between the NPK prices and DAP, you would see a balanced kind of growth in both the segments. But the overall phosphatic segment remains strong. That's how I look at it.
Thank you. Aman, may I request you to come back for a follow-up question?
Sure.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from Nayan of Shriya from Capro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead. Shriya, can you hear us? Shriya, may I request to unmute your line and proceed with your question? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Saurabh Gupta from Madhya Bharat Agro Products. Please go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, hello, am I audible?
Yes, it's good. Go ahead, please.
Set the line for the participant dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Prashant Diani. Please go ahead.
So how much is the phos acid volume for Q4 as well as for FY26?
No, we produce around 1.25 lakh metric ton in Q4, and year on year this is 5 lakh 1,000.
5 lakh plus.
And for sulfuric acid for Q4 and full year?
Altogether with the whole year,
we produce around 1.8 million, you know.
1.75
actually. And for Q4?
Just a second,
Yes.
For Q4, this was 4 lakh 10,000.
Sir, how much is the subsidy that we received in Q4 and how much is the outstanding right now?
We have received in Q4 2,600 odd crores and the outstanding is the subsidy is
3,800.
Yeah.
Mr. Harshdeep. Mr. Harshdeep, out of the total trading volume for Q4, how much is DAP and TSP?
DAP and TSP?
Yeah.
Right. So, DAP was 2.2 million tons.
No, and that is...
Okay, quarter also will tell you the number. Just give me a minute. Q4 number... For DAP was DAP imported was 0.3 million tons and TSP was 0.4 million tons for the Q4. Yeah.
3 lakh and 4 lakh tons.
3 lakh and 4 lakh.
Yeah, 0.3 and 0.4 million. Yeah, that's what. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, 0.3 lakh and 0.4 lakh metric tons.
Okay, 30,000 and 40,000.
30,000, 40,000,
yeah. And sir, how much is the POS stock at the end of Q4 for DAP and NPK?
Total stock is around 8,30,000. And you want to understand the DAP stock?
No, for total phosphatic, DAP plus NPK.
Okay, DAP is around, at the end was 1.28 lakh metric ton. And NPK was around 6 lakh metric ton, 5.95.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Aman Kothari from Equirus Investments. Please go ahead.
So, is there any production guidance that we can currently factor in at this time of the year?
Can you repeat it?
Production guidance.
Any production guidance that we can give at this time of the year? I mean, I know there is uncertainty, but regards, let's say first quarter and then probably something for the year.
Basically, there are two anxieties is coming. One is ammonia side, second is in terms of the sulfur and sulfuric acid. The production volumes remains almost like steady to large extent, at least 70-80% for us in the Q1. But we are just slightly shifting from these two intensive products, ammonia intensive as well as from the sulfur intensive products. And wherever the policy clarity exists. So in terms of the running of the plants, actually, all the three plants are running. To large extent, actually, we are covered till end of June. We don't have major anxieties, but since we produce around 5 to 6 different kinds of products, we have access actually whichever is suiting to the market as well as in terms of the policy clarity.
So all the three plants are operating, we can say, about 90%?
Not exactly. We can say around 80% is.
Okay. And this is primarily because of the raw material constraints.
Yes, yes.
Okay, got it. And sir, the price of DAP that we are seeing at current rates, I think this has happened before also in a previous year when they deliberately reduced the volumes of DAP trading. If you see the prices elevated, let's say at a similar level for the next couple of quarters, do you think this is a deliberate step that we are going to again take?
See, we're not getting into the deliberate step. The way we look at it is the government has put kind of a structure where we are doing a buying as an industry consortium. Okay. So, so there has been a very, very transparent and effective process as a country that we've done, so that instead of people taking spot positions individually, okay, so we have kind of asked the people to quote, and we got the L1 prices discovered. So you're right, these are exceptionally high prices, both for urea and DAP. However, the view from the government side is that it's important that the farmers get their phosphates and nitrogen for the cropping season. So that's how we look at it. And it is important that we maintain a certain strategic inventory as a country so that we are in a better bargaining position as we go into the subsequent season. That strengthens our position that way.
Okay. So the two tenders that India Potash did, I think at those elevated prices, that was an industry level procurement that was done, right?
Yeah, so it is not IPL's tender alone. It is IPL on behalf of a consortium of 5-6 companies. Okay, the large phosphate company. We are a part of that. And we had a good offer availability. And we have only picked up the quantity that L1 prices.
Got it. Okay. And so I think in a CAPEX plan that also that we have, I think debottlenecking would almost contribute to us 0.3 million tons. So I think you already mentioned that 0.2 is something we're targeting for this year. So I'm assuming that 0.1 will be targeted for FY28.
Yes, yes.
And that will again be at the Paradeep plant?
Yes.
Partly it could be coming from Bangalore, but both the units will have some growth coming out.
Okay. Got
Thank
it.
You.
And just one last question to add on. Sir, this is an if scenario, but considering that we have now seen an import duty increase or some deliberate steps that government is having to take to, you know, reduce the impact that it is having. So do you think that if this situation is elevated and there are steps that, since you're having continuous discussions with the industry, is there a possibility that fertilizer subsidies could get delayed at these elevated prices?
No, see, look, you know, this ammonia and sulfur prices, then, you know, custom duty is reduced. In fact, you know, very recently. So, with this, now the kharif is coming in and the type of stock built up and the sales is, consumption is happening, we don't see that the subsidy will be delayed. As of now, we want to start, now we have got the subsidy up to April end.
And, you know, with the kind of discussion that are happening on daily basis with the government and industry, you know, government is very protective of the industry because they believe that manufacturing has to go to ensure food security. So there is no reason for us to have subsidy delayed.
And it is adequately budgeted, you know, they have budget support for the subsidy. So we don't see any reason for the delay in the subsidy.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit from Steep Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, I'm audible. Yes, yes. Yeah, so I just wanted to know how much percentage of your raw materials are imported, I mean in terms of sulfate or everything.
It's not very clear.
What percentage of raw materials are imported, right?
Yeah, correct. How much percentage of your raw materials are currently imported, I mean, via state of almost?
See, we get, you know, almost every entire thing of ammonia imported earlier from state of Hormuz. Now it has been shifted to East Coast. So we are getting mostly now from the Southeast Asian countries, this ammonia. As well as sulfur is concerned, yes, it was through state of Hormuz. But now that is also impacted. So
if you see, it's large extent actually diversification happened in ammonia. Sulfur remains a critical resource for us actually to bother us. But I'm sure actually the kind of tie-up all industry as well as government is supporting us to make, we will see at least better days to coming.
So just to kind of update you, we also, so one is the sourcing of sulfur that we're doing within the country. So that partially supplements. And like for the finished fertilizers, there is a consortium which is working also on sulfur and ammonia, securing sulfur and ammonia in a transparent way. So that also has been kind of, we've already declared that as an industry. And we're hopeful of securing that. Rather, one of the vessels that we secured for sulfur came by a state of Hormuz.
Okay. Okay. And so considering the, you know, commissioning of the sulfuric plant, so, how much margin expansion are we looking at? I mean, after getting the, if we see the war situation getting settled out.
So the delta between the imported sulfur and, you know, imported sulfuric acid and indigenous sulfuric acid around 3,000 rupees. But it depends on that what source, you know, what price you are sourcing this sulfur. So at this current level, it is, you know, it will be reduced and it will be at around 1,500, 2,000 level of delta.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Riju from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hope I'm audible. As you earlier said that in a Goa plant, UDF plant was taken under maintenance shutdown due to energy efficiency. So how much was the volume impacted, or if you could indicate the production volume for this quarter for the Goa urea plant?
See, overall, if you look at it, the whole year actually we will be completing RAC. Okay, because anyway, around 30-35 days are always kept on shutdowns, of annual shutdowns. So that we are consumed actually. So we don't see any decrease in volume on a yearly basis.
So this year we have done 4 lakh ton. And now with the policy, suppose, you know, the new change in the policy come, we can do up to 4.5 lakh ton at Goa.
Okay, so going forward, we can do 4.5 lakh ton kind of a volume, right?
Yeah.
Okay, understood. And sir, for the MCFL, you said that our production volume for the urea was somewhere around 4 lakh ton for the MCFL. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, yes.
So with that number, was there any dip in the urea production volume in the MCFL for 4Q?
The MCFL continued to run. We have taken the shutdown in the last October, November. But if there is a supportive policy, we can still produce more than that, more than 4 lakhs.
Okay. So, for the H2, if you could indicate the production volume of urea at MCFL plant, that will be helpful.
H2, if you look at it, our overall RAC is around 4 lakhs.
with the supportive policy, we can go up to 4.4 to 4.5.
I think last year it's the number. Yeah. We will share that specific number. Go ahead.
We took a month shutdown last year for general maintenance. Yeah. Yeah.
No, sir. My question was that, like, in 3Q and 4Q, how much was the production volume for MCFL urea plant?
Riju will get back to you separately on that. I think we don't give a year.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Get back to you separately.
Yeah. Okay, sir. No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, thank you. And on behalf of the management team, PPL, we thank you for taking time to join our earnings call and a lot of interesting questions from you. Should you have any further questions, please reach out to us, our investor relation team. And thank you once again and have a good morning and afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.